Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome back again to Ascended Masters Presents with Mary Monroe and paranormal investigators, as well as working with the spirit world. I'm here. My host is, my name is Matthew Bueno, with you today. And I'm happy that we're on this radio show with you today. And so there's been a lot of exciting things happening here in Northern California, to say the least. I was driving down from Northern California, where I live in Mount Shasta, down to Nevada City, which is about 3 hours away, and it's flooded down here. And this is the first time in a long time where I knew all the back roads, but I couldn't get to where I wanted to get. Anyways, it's just a big mess up here. Actually, Highway I-5 up in Northern California is actually closed, and you can't get through there unless you have high-profile vehicles that can actually go through that river. Covered water area in that freeway. So this is a whole new event happening in the world today. So it's kind of a freakish feeling not to be able to get to where you want to go, and then taking about double the time to get where you want to be. So anyways, I'm just happy to be here, happy to be on the radio with you, all of you here today. And I wanted to just kind of set up an energy prayer for everything here today. I'm going to be giving some readings today, some intuitive readings to some of our callers. So today, if you want a reading for me on this radio program, it's area code 646-564-9678. I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. It's actually 646-564-9678. The call, the number that you would call in, and then you push 1 on your dial tone, and then a little hand will come up. And then that will tell me that you want a reading, or you want, you know, to get something done, some intuitive healing done for myself and the masters. Anyways, I wanted just to make a prayer for all of us here today. You know, there's a lot of stuff happening in the world today, you know, and I think what's really important is that, you know, I was meditating and praying before I came on the radio today, and I'm a little ungrounded, but I'm getting there. But I just wanted to say that, you know, like, you really feel, you know, everyone is kind of out of their body today. You know, in the world, there's a lot of stuff happening, a lot of unknown stuff happening today. And there's a lot of worry in the world, you know, worried about what our future is going to look like, what it means for our children, what it means for our pets, what it means for, you know, the elders, the people who are about to retire, you know, and some of the veterans. So I just wanted to put that energy out there and just make a prayer for all those people that are not in their bodies, and to be able to be in their bodies and to experience change, a feeling of peace, a feeling of feeling calm, and feeling courageous to be in your body, to be who you are, and to walk a path with grace and walk a path with some kind of feeling of protection and support and validation that you're on the right path. So I would now just ask, O great white light spirit, whose voice are in the wind, whose breath-giving life is full on the world and creation, we come before you, one of your many children out of so many lifetimes. We are with misunderstanding and sometimes weak of heart. We need your wisdom, your strength, and your knowledge. Let us walk in your beauty with understanding in our hearts. Make our hands respect the things you have made. Let us speak with wisdom, with your voice from within. Teach us the things you have taught others, the lessons hidden in a rock or in a leaf. We need your strength of divine love, and not to be superior to our fellow man or to nature, but to be able to fight our greatest enemies, ourselves. Let us ever come to you with straight open eyes and a clean, clear heart, body, mind, and soul spirit. For when our lives fade as the fading sun sets each day, our spirits may come to you without shame. So, Mutakyasan. So I just wanted to put that prayer out there and to the world. And, you know, and just really, you know, one of the things I noticed, you know, lately with a lot of people is that, you know, being out in the world and having to be out in the trenches and facing each other. And then there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of people have different views about what, you know, what this world means now, you know, with the new world leadership. And what I found, you know, for myself is that, you know, I have a morning practice, you know, I have a morning meditation. I have something that I look forward to every day in the morning to get myself centered into a place of neutrality. And then when I get into that place with myself, the rest of the day, you know, I get to build in that positivity. And then, you know, I try to sway away from the news, you know, get away from the tabloids and who's dying and who's, you know, has witchcraft and who has this and who has that. And it's just about you and how you affect what you want to add into the world and how you want to be, you know, recognized by other people in your sovereignties. So right now, I just want to ask the Creator and all the masters and angels to come in right now and just put lay your hands upon the people listening here today and their families and everyone that they're connected to help that energy of that peacefulness come through and to help people feel loved by each other and not to feel like a foreigner or feeling withdrawn because of some of the fear that's happened in the world. And just blanket us with that light and to help us with that energy so we can come into our own power for ourselves and do the things that we're here to do and leave the legacy, and, you know, and an open, continuous, very supportive and happy place for our future of our children. So let it be. So thank you for that. So I wanted to today we had a special guest, Jack Kenna, who I don't see is on the call list yet. But what we're going to do is that, you know, we're just going to wait for him to come on. And if he doesn't come on, that's okay. It wasn't meant to be. We're just going to go ahead and move on with our show. But I wanted to just let you know about what it means to me in this paranormal ascension that we're doing right now and why I started this program. Is one of the reasons is because in my life, you know, I've been involved with a lot of spirits. You know, when I was really young, I had an experience of angels when I was growing up. You know, I had angels just coming into my room, talking to me, you know, and my babysitters would trip out. They would say, you know, you can't be talking to spirits and angels. There's no such thing. And I said, yeah, but look, they're right there. And I would point, and my Aunt Jolie was the one that used to babysit my sister and I. And I was about 4 or 5 years old, and I would point at them, and they would smile, and they would look at her, and she would look at me like, I don't see anything. You're nuts. You got to stop talking like that. You know, I'm going to tell your parents, and they're going to put you in a straitjacket. So I grew up with a lot of fear about the things that I was able to see. And I didn't, for the life of me, I didn't want to share that part of myself because I figured every kid could do this. Everybody knows how to do this stuff, you know. And one of the special things that happened in my life that I'll never forget is that I found my birth parents after 47 years. You know, I was adopted when I was 3 months old. You know, my mom and my dad got me when I was 3 months old, and my sister came a little bit later. And so my sister and I were both adopted, but I had this vision a long time ago when I first started meditating, and I was asking Creator, you know, spirits, you know, who are my family? And I saw myself inside my mother's womb, and I was looking around the room just to see as much as I get, because if I'm there, I might as well, you know, take advantage. So I'm in my mother's womb, and I see her crying. She's crying, and then there's a woman putting her hand on my mom's belly, and I could feel this warmth coming into my body as I'm visualizing, as I'm having this vision. And she said to my mom that, you know, this baby is very special, and you need to give it up. And I could feel the anger and the frustration and the sadness and grief coming from my mother's heart. And I looked into the room to the right, and there was this little area where there was a television, a black and white television with, you know, foil on the antenna. And there was a boy there, and I guess that was my older brother, Tony. So, and I never met Tony. He died before I got to meet him. So in that vision, you know, after I found my birth mom, after 47 years, I told her about this vision, and she started crying. And she says, "I can't believe that you knew what that was." I said, "That was my brother Tony, right?" And she says, "Yeah, that was Tony. He was upset at me because we were talking about giving you up." And I said, "Can you express to me the circumstances of, you know, why you gave me up?" And, you know, and so, you know, I'm not going to get too much into that because it's kind of personal. But the man that she was married to was not a nice guy, and he abused her and my brother. So Tony, you know, I never got to meet him because he was killed before, and when I was 17. But I heard that he had taken me out of the crib. She decided not to heed the words of the person who was blessing me in the belly, and she had brought me home after I was born. And the man was looking for me because he was upset because he wasn't the father of who I was. And so Tony took me out of the crib and put me in the closet and covered me up with a bunch of clothes, dirty clothes and stuff, and hid me in there while this man went on and hurt my mom and was looking for me. So he's pretty much saved my life, you know. And so whenever I go to ceremony or I think about him, you know, I always send him kudos. I send him love, energy, good prayers, that his journey is, you know, that let him know that I'm thinking about him that way. And so it means something to me to have a connection with people who I love on the other side. You know, my Uncle Jess, you know, my Aunt Merla, you know, my Uncle Jess was a really brilliant man. He worked for NASA. I always looked up to him because he made me laugh. He was a really hairy guy, but, you know, he was a really nice uncle. And so when he crossed over, I was upset that he had cancer and that he was dying. And I went into spirit world and I said, "Hey, you know, this is my uncle. I don't want him to die. I want him to be here." And the masters came up to me and put their hands on me, and they said, "No, he has a contract. He has to go at this time. This is, you can't stop this." And I didn't like that answer. I wanted to find out. I wanted to go above and beyond, you know. I wanted to go to the boss. I didn't want to hear that, you know. That was my family. I didn't want him to die. And so I went up to Creator, and I asked, "What's going on?" And I felt all this peace and this love and this energy. And I was still upset. I didn't care. Yeah, I could feel that love, but I want to go higher than you, you know. So I was in a place where I just felt all this love and all this inviting. And so I entered the room to where he was going to go. And I had to make a decision right there in my mind, you know, because this wasn't up to me. But it was still that I was still fighting with the fact that he was going, and I had no control over that. No matter how much power I thought I had, that I could not, you know, I couldn't do anything about his death. So he died that night, and then my Aunt Merla, his wife at the time, she told me, you know, she was very metaphysical, and she came to me and she said that, "I know that you tried to talk to them," which I didn't tell her, and she said that to me, and I said, "Yes, I did. I went up there and I, you know, went to the other side and I asked them not to take them," and she goes, "You got to understand, he has a contract. And it was good that you did that because you got to feel the extensiveness of his love." I said, "Whose love?" And she said, "God's love." And so I finally put two and two together about the energy I felt on the other side and the energy of what I was dealing with and his life that was ending. And I was able to put all those three parts of me together where I had just let that part go of myself, of wanting to control that part. And I let that happen. And then once I let that happen and let that go, I was able to feel that he was in a better place. I was able to feel that he was on his journey and there was something bigger than me doing this. So along the lines of my life, I've had all these experiences to where I was, you know, really involved with spirit in the spirit world. There was another time when I must have been about, 7 or 8 years old. And I, uh, I, I was, this is my you know, experience with some of the masters and the angels in my life, you know, and this is like, you know, when I was in my 20s and my 30s, I had no clue. I mean, I was upset, I was angry, I was rebellious, all these things, because I didn't know who my birth parents were and this and that. And it wasn't until I came into spirituality that I was able to piece my life together and really look at the gifts that I was given, you know. And for most of my life, I thought it as a burden. You know, I didn't want to see spirits. No one believes in me anyways. You know, I can't say that I see this person. No one else sees them. So I felt like I was, like I had a bullseye on my back for some reason from God. You know, I can't tell people I see energy around them or whatever, because, you know, it was not something that everyone knew. And I thought, for sure, everyone can do this. They must, because I can do it, you know. And so when I was about 7 years old, I had these two neighbor friends across the street, Roger Crawford and Sean Lopez, and I was considered the most slowest guy on the block. You know, I was overweight, and every time we played football or baseball or hide and seek or anything, I would always get caught because I was slow. So that was their thinking. And so I had some friends up the street, a couple blocks over, and Roderick and Sean said, "Hey, let's go over here to this place." And I said, "Well, I'm really not supposed to go this far, but let's go anyway." And I was waving at my Mexican friends over there that had lowrider bikes and all these nice cars. And I knew them, so I'm waving at them, "Hey, you know, Juan, how you doing, man?" And he's all, "Hey, Matthew." And then the guys behind me started giving those guys the bird and calling them beaners and, you know, really, you know, negative things saying to them. And I just saw Raymond, the older brother, just get mad. And he threw down his towel and he started running after us. And I'm thinking to myself, now I'm involved with these guys because I'm running with them. So I look guilty for whatever reason. And so I'm running with them. And of course, Sean and Roderick take off and I'm way behind. And I turn the corner and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I might as well stop because I'm going to get my butt kicked. And it's just because, you know, for whatever reason, this isn't going to work for me. So I stopped running. And as I turned around, there was this big fluffy man, you know, heavy set fluffy guy with hairy legs and a kimono with a bald head. And he just said, he was waving me, "Get in here, get in here." So I ran to him. I held onto his legs and I looked out his kimono and all these guys just passed me by as if I wasn't even there. He didn't even look in my direction. And I actually felt like I was in another dimension, like I was looking through a window. And everything was really fuzzy and really bright where I was. And after years and years of really looking back at it, I'm sure I added my own, you know, 2 cents, but that was my view. I just saw these guys running by me, 7 guys running by me, these brothers, you know, after blood. And so after they left, I came out, you know, of the kimono, and I saw them, and I was so relieved. I was so happy and so relieved. I turned around to thank the guy, and he was gone. And so I didn't question that. I just started walking home. I was happy. I was whistling. And I came around the corner, and there were Sean and Roderick on the ground, bleeding, crying. And I just looked at them, and I started laughing, and I took off running. You know, and at that time, I was, you know, I didn't know what to say to them. "I'm sorry, but, yeah, and I know what you guys tried to do to me. You tried to leave me behind." So I ended up going home, but I felt good. So I've had all these experiences, you know. I've had where I was walking home one night, and I was going to get into a fight, a gang fight with a bunch of other guys at a party. And for the first time in my life, I said, "I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired of living in hatred." And so I just backed down. I told my friends, "I'm not fighting. I'm not going to do this." And I was walking home and they were mad at me, you know, just calling me names that I'm not. And I backed them up so many times that I didn't want to do it anymore. I was just tired of being angry and conjuring up anger so I can hurt someone's body. It just wasn't my thing anymore. So I turned around, I was walking home, and I looked up, and there was this friggin' angel just flying above me, and she guided me home, you know, because I made a different decision than what I would have done. And so I've had all these, you know, experiences, and I can tell you that, you know, life is a gift, man. I'm so in love with working with the masters. I'm so in love with working with their energies and their personalities, and it just, for the life of me, you know, when I'm doing workshops or I'm teaching a one-on-one or I'm talking about intellects, I'm talking to other intellects or other business people about what I do, they kind of like raise an eyebrow and say, "Hey, you know what, I tried I've tried many, many, many times to just kind of push it out of my life. Like, it doesn't exist. And then once in a while, I hear a voice, and I'll answer it back. I'm in the grocery store. Now I look up and say, don't do that. I'm around people. and I'll hear a little snickering in the back, you know. And I know that they're there, you know. And I just, it's part of my family. It's part of my heritage. You know, it's been in my family. You know, my grandmother, Teresa, she was Yaqui Indian. And, you know, there's been medicine people from her family all the way down to my mom and to me. And when I met my mom for the first time, I can see that, you know, she had a connection, but she didn't trust it. And I can see that my brother, you know, he has a connection, but he didn't trust it. And so I grew up, luckily, in a family that supported me. My dad, even today, I saw him a couple of weeks ago when I went down there, and he says, okay, I had a dream. And every time I go down there and he says, I had a dream, I know he's going to test me. And so I said, why do you say that every time I come to visit you, you tell me you had a dream? He goes, well, I just want to see what you're going to say about this one. And so we have this connection, you know. And so for the longest time, I felt like I was a scapegoat. I was, I was a foreigner to my family. No one's going to believe me, you know. And so my family always thought I was either on drugs or I was drinking because of the things I said. But now as an adult in my years now, you know, this is my passion and this is what I do. So a lot of times when people say I need my lands blessed or I need this done or I need my house blessed, you know, I really look at the situation. You know, I look at the energy of the situation of what they're asking me, because God is always in control. The Creator is about, you know, listening to that guidance, listening to that energy. And the energy of the Creator commands all. But as a worker, you know, as I call myself a light worker, medicine worker, you know, I'm able to have that connection. But I'm also to feel, you know, a lot of people ask me, can you come in and get rid of these spirits? I say, well, yeah. What did you do to create this situation? You know, we need to be accountable for ourselves. You know, there was a time when a friend of mine said, these people have a dark demon in this house and they want you to come and get rid of it. So I took my feathers and I took my staff and I took my rattle. And because some spirits don't like the sound of rattles. So I went down there, especially demonic ones. So I walked into this house and I felt it right away, just this wall of negativity. And I stopped and I put a prayer down. I put a prayer down. What that means is that you get some tobacco and you put it across your feet. You know, you put it in front of your feet. So you're making it, you're making your wall of prayer movement energy into this abyssful, dark, negative energy. You're showing your presence by bringing your light. So that's what putting down a prayer means. So I put it on a prayer as to make steps. So I put like 7 lines of tobacco before I entered the house. And as I entered, they are all looking at me, all these demonic, there was 4 of them there, just staring at me, looking at me up and down, you know, snickering and talking, you know, and I didn't listen to them. I sang. I didn't say anything to the people there. I didn't say anything. I didn't introduce myself. I just went in because I was there to take care of business. So I called in my ancestors, and all the men ancestors lined up on my right. All the woman ancestors lined up on my left, and we all sang the same song, you know, and I can hear that. I'm very audible with them. So we sang the song, and we were asking for the Creator and the energy and the spirits to come in and to rescue the ones that want to be rescued and to find out which one is controlling all these other spirits, because there was a man in the corner, and he was huddled up. He was in, like, office clothes. He had a tie, had a black tie, a white T-shirt, slacks. But he didn't have any shoes, and he's sitting in that corner just huddling, like, you know, just like scared. And I asked him, I said, what are you doing here? How come you're not in the light? You can clearly see that he wasn't in the light, because people in the light have this glow and they're happy and they're energized. They have been touched by the Creator. People who are not in the light, or spirits that are between worlds, they have this really like just died look in their faces. Like they're still like a deer in headlights. Like, what's going on? I don't understand this. And so I asked my grandmother, Lily, to come out and to bring him to the line where we were praying, where we were making these prayer lines, you know, and so he can step into the light. And he said, no, I can't go. And then he pointed to the corner. I looked, and sure enough, there was this really big, heavy-duty, dark, demonic energy there. And you couldn't see nothing but just eyes. And the smell was really, I mean, like really putrid. Really stinky, like, you know, like someone who hasn't bathed in a while. And that smell was there. So I went and I got that guy. And then, you know, I had him stand in front of my grandmother, and she did a blessing on him with her eagle fan. And these are all spirits I'm talking about. You know, this is in spirit world. You know, this is what we see. This is the work that I do. And so my grandmother blessed him with the eagle fan, and she told him that you need to stand up for yourself. Even in spirit world, you need to stand up for yourself, and you need to say that I'm done. I am done being your slave. I don't want to be here anymore. This is not my path, and I'm letting go of you. And she said, just say it like that. Oh, he ran to the corner and huddled up again. So I looked at my grandmother. I said, it's going to take a little bit more than your demands to get this guy to cross over. I said, so go get him and then have him stand next to me. So he came over and stand next to me. And what happens is that when there's a spirit in between worlds, what happens to me is that my body becomes a portal. So when my body becomes a portal, my animals start to come in. So the bear came in, the eagle came in, the hawk came in, and they're all around him. And so he saw that it was something he could determine as power. You know, not just another human being telling him that you need to stand up for yourself, but he saw my bear. So that was he was able to feel that connection, that he can be a little bit stronger about his will and demanding that this demonic energy release him. So as I'm doing this work, I'm feeling a tapping on my shoulder, and I look over, and it's my friend Shireen who actually got me this job to go and do this. And she says, she's pointing, she goes, these people want to know what the heck you're doing. I said, tell them to just to wait a minute, you know. And so she told them that, and I went on to do my business. And so what I found out was that someone there opened up a portal. So when the spirits say someone opened up a door, it means to me a portal. It means that someone's messing with a Ouija board or did some kind of conjuring to bring these energies in, because they weren't in any other apartments. They were just in this one apartment. So I asked, I came out of my vision, and I looked at Shireen. I said, I need you to ask them if they have been messing with drugs and alcohol. And because when they're on drugs and alcohol, you open up a portal and you play with a Ouija board, that makes it worse. You know, it's just like they attach to everything. And so she asked, and sure enough, there was somebody that was playing with the Ouija board. And I said, you get rid of that thing now, or else I'm not going to finish this. So they ran out the door with it, put it in the garbage can. And I said, it's going to take more than the garbage can. You're going to have to make a fire or do a bonfire or throw in the ocean somewhere where there's salt or energy of the creator, and not just throw it in the garbage can. That's really, you know, that's not being accountable. So I went on and I did this clearing, and the demonic energy, he didn't want to budge. And we finally got Archangel Michael to pull him out of there. And he just took care of business. He just took the demonic energy out. And I was able to rescue the three other beings that were trapped under that demonic energy's, you know, presence. And that happens sometimes, you know. And so for me, if a relative crosses over, I want to make sure that they're going to be in a spot where they're going to be held, they're going to be loved, and they're on their journey. I don't want to have any of my relatives stuck between worlds like the things I have discovered, the things I have experienced. You know, I mean, it's just amazing to me, you know, some of the things I've seen. You know, maybe about 8 years ago when I lived in Mount Shasta, a woman heard about me coming in there, and she said that she had a spirit in her room. So I went over there, you know, and I did my prayer line, and I felt that the energy of that darkness was way on the opposite side of the house. So I walked in there, and I before I walk in there, you always bring your spirits with you. So I had the angels and the masters and some of my ancestors, Red Cloud, come in and walk in front of me. And a lot of times where you're doing house clearings or house blessings, you have the people who live there with you carry the sage in front of you and burn the sage and have them pray in front of you as you sing the songs. And what that does is that they are claiming back their power. They're taking back that energy. They're announcing, this is where we live. This is our house. This is our home. And so when they're empowering themselves, they're not being intimidated anymore. A lot of people get intimidated by spirits, even if it's an angel, you know, or somebody comes, a spirit comes in just passing through, and they knock something over. People freak out, and they automatically get the priest in there. It's not like that, you know. You have to really feel into that world and really know what you're seeing before you freak out, you know. And so, what we do is we go in, we bring the spirits in, we have the people who we want the house to be blessed to walk in front of us with the sage as I'm singing the songs behind them. And that empowers the people who live there to feel that they can feel how it felt before and how it feels after. Because a lot of times people are going to say, how do I know it's going to be cleared? Well, you'll feel the difference. Well, how am I going to feel the difference? You're going to walk in front of me, and you're going to go into all those fears, you're going to go all into that intimidation feeling, and you're going to feel different when we're done. And so after we did the whole cleansing thing in that house, I had the woman put down the abalone shell. I had her take some tobacco and I told her to go pray outside, you know, in the four directions of her house. So she puts her own protection grid around that home while I go inside and take care of whatever is in there. So I locked in the house and there was this a young girl, 17 years old, and she was laying in the bathtub and there was blood everywhere. And it looked like she slit her wrist. So I walked up and I kneeled in front of her with my pipe. I'm a pipe carrier. We called in our sundance ceremonies, we're pipe carriers, we're considered as holy people because that pipe is that connection that we have to the Creator. So I took my pipe out and I sat, I kneeled in front of her and I was singing. And I was singing, you know, to tell her spirit and her helpers that I'm here, that we're here to help her do this. And I'm not saying I'm the only one that does this. There's a lot of people like me who did this, but this is how I was trained by the medicine people in my life to do this in a good way. So I took my pipe out and I was singing to this woman who took her life, and she turned around and looked at me, and she didn't even know. She looked at me like she was astonished that I could see her. And I just opened my eyes and I nodded at her like, I can see you. And then she started crying right away, you know. And to me, when a spirit starts to cry when you're trying to help them, that's like a total validation of what I'm bringing with me. I mean, if I was just a person with a bag or a Santa Claus or anything, you know, if I looked like something she recognized but completely didn't trust that, you know, she would probably either fled or showed me another or just, you know, took off or, you know, I don't exactly know what to say about that. But I was being present with her with all my love, all my magic, all my medicine, all my songs and all my ancestors. And she just felt loved. She felt like she was, you know, because she was in this place of grief, like she did herself in. And what now, you know, I'm laying in this tub and this is her memory over and over again. So I was able to have my grandmother stand next to me and she was singing with her ego fan and she was blowing her beautiful harmonic smoke. Harmonic smoke is like a spirit that sings prayer songs in spirit world. And instead of having like sage or, you know, reburn, is that her songs become light out of her hands, out of her eyes, out of her ears, out of her mouth, and you could see her filling up this room with this beautiful light of her song. And so I hear that song in my head and in my heart, and I'll try to catch that song and I'll sing it with her. And so we have the third dimensional world where I am at, and we have the spirit world where she's at. So we bring those two energies together that creates a new vibration and frequency to fill up that room. And as we're filling that room, we're also thinking about bringing in an ancestor that this lady is going to recognize, that she's going to remember love. And as soon as the spirit remembers love, poof, that's when the Creator takes that person back. Because when someone does themselves in, when someone kills themselves, commits suicide, they're living through that grief over and over and over again until you break that. You got to break that that program. You got to break that sequence with them to make them think about something else. And as soon as she thought about love, you know, that's when the spirit took her. But it took some conjuring because I got her out of the bathtub and I led her over to the light, but she didn't recognize anything that was happening. It was like she just, and she was, I guess she's been there almost 9 years or 10 years, something like that. And so, and the woman didn't know what to do after all this time. And, you know, there was a feeling of dread and sorrow in the room that she couldn't get rid of. So that sorrow and dread was the energy of what that person did her. She committed suicide in that feeling and had to live in that. And that was her hell for her. That was her hell. So we were able to ask Archangel Michael and Mother Mary to go back into heaven, spirit world, and bring back an elder who this young lady would recognize. So when the elder came in, it was this beautiful, beautiful grandmother with big, bright eyes and a big smile. And she just had her arms out, you know, to like, and she got on her knees. Like, she knew exactly what to do. I didn't even know what was happening at the time. I was just holding space with my grandmother, singing the song. And this woman, the spirit came through this portal, put her hands out, and got on her knees. I'm thinking, she's doing like she's asking for this person to be a little girl, you know, a little kid running to her. And I look over, and this lady who had committed suicide was shrinking from 17 years old down into the time that she remembered this person in her life. That was powerful. And I started crying. I felt all this love. I felt all this, And I started, you know, I'm trying to be on the job, and but I can't hold my stature because I'm watching the spirit actually helping this person who committed suicide go back in time to a time that she remembers her. And as soon as she remembered her, she became so young, like 3 or 4 years old, and just ran. And I saw her in her little diapers, just running to her grandma. And then as she, when she was running to her grandma, she said this one thing I'll never forget, cookies. So I guess that her grandmother used to bake a lot. So she remembered her and her baking cookies. And so that's what she said, cookies, as she ran to her grandmother, and the light took him. Just, you know, and I'm just making that sound because that, to me, that's what it was. Just, and it's all this energy. And then after that light left, it was like a big slinky that was coming out of the ceiling. And then we were just able to push that up and then close that. And then we put a blessing in the room. We thanked the spirits for coming in, and we left the house. And then I asked the woman to go in there and to feel in her room, to feel what it feels like. And she just came out crying. She's immense joy. And that's the only words that she could tell me. So from that point on, I knew that I was on to something. I knew that this work, this gift, this thing that I'm doing matters to the world. Not to everybody, but whoever's called to me, whoever is, you know, has these dysfunctional energetic energies that are stuck in their homes, you know. And so I made it my, you know, I made it my mission to not only, you know, to not only help these spirits go home, but to also educate people who, you know, see them as just ghosts or, you know, spirits or, oh, you know, there's a lot of places in the world. There's a place in Santa Cruz. There's a place called the Brooks Inn or something. And it's, there was Sylvia Brown. She went down there and she did a clearing of that place. And she found the little boy and little girl, who were in that house or in that hotel. This hotel is pretty immaculate. You know, it has a lot of rooms, and it also has a river, a little creek that runs through the main lobby, which, you know, it's really beautiful in there. It's a really old property. And so there was this little boy, little girl, and a woman there. It looked like their house burned down or something happened, and they were there, and they were ready to go home. And when Sylvia Brown, I wouldn't even ask them. I would have not asked the owners nothing. I would have just done it. But she asked the owners out of respect, I guess, and just said, hey, I found them. What do you want me to do with them? They go, oh, no, leave them here, because people feel this mystery energy in the hotel. And, you know, even your relatives to cross over and to have a journey and to move forward and ascend. I mean, why even? I mean, that's just, to me, that's wrong. You know, spirits need to live too. Just because they don't have bodies doesn't mean that they don't have love and emotion, you know, and set those spirits free. So, yes, if you guys know me, if anyone knows me on this radio, you know I went down there and did it myself. I could not help that. I mean, that's just wrong. I don't believe that someone could hold, you know, and there's like a lot of bars that do the same thing. Oh, there's a certain mystery here because there's spirits here and they help to bring client or people. And, you know, at that, to me, that's just selfish, you know. And I feel, you know, for those spirits, because if it was me trapped in that place and there was somebody I saw that couldn't help me cross over, I would do everything in my power to get that person's attention to help me go home, you know. And that, to me, that's about, you know, it's just more about life to me, you know. And so this has been my mission. This has been my drive to help those people with those kinds of situations, including spirit world, you know. And because there's children involved, there's kids, and there's adults, and there's elders, you know. And yes, there are dark ones. They are, you know. And I have some other stories. You know, I'm probably not going to do it today because, you know, we only have, you know, an hour and 21 minutes left. But there are some things we've done in the distance where, you know, everything matched together. And it was World War, where the red coats and blue coats and, you know, and chasing, you know, spirits and through different portals and finding out, you know, from a demonic energy that they became and how that originated in them, you know, to get to that place. And basically, you know, this, the bottom line is that when you're in spirit world and if you die and you're angry and you're pissed off about your life and you don't go to the light, what happens is you attract more energies or more entities that are that same way, and you feed off each other. And through the world, through the life of that resentment, you know, you commit things, you do things, you have hauntings, you have curses, possessions, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that can happen. And then what we do, you know, me and the masters, and what they're teaching me is to have compassion, even for those demonic ones, you know, and to have compassion to where you can figure out how they became that way and take them back in time. And Archangel Michael is a beautiful, beautiful teacher when it comes to that kind of work, because he says that everything that is created by God can go back to the light. You know, we're not separate from one another, even though we live like that. So it's important to really have a guideline of what you're entering into in anything, any situation that you're into. Even if you, you know, you want to create an abundant, beautiful home in your own place, make some prayers and put some prayers. Put a line of tobacco in front of all your doors, you know, the front door, the back door, the side door, and then, you know, to make a line of energy around the whole house, you know, and you raise that vibration. Raise the vibration. Sing in your house. It doesn't have to be Sundance, Lakota, or you know, Native American songs. It could be just, you know, songs that, you know, are inspiring, you know, and hum, you know, wake up humming and put some candles up and make a prayer and ask the Creator to bless your home, you know. And as soon as you put that energy in there, then anything of that same vibration and frequency goes there, and they're probably of the light. No, excuse me, they're probably of the light. So, you know, there's a total different effect here too, that, you know, when we're blessing homes, we bless it all completely to the place where people feel comfortable, where kids can come into your home and just lay down on the floor and fall asleep. Now that's a safe home, you know, when kids can do that. Because kids are very, very, they're very empathic, even at a very, very young age, and they can feel things. So I guess it doesn't look like Jack Kenna is going to be coming on the radio here today. I don't see his phone number here anywhere. So I think what we're going to do is that I'm going to go ahead and just take some time right now. I'm going to give some intuitive readings for you. Some of my my strengths is that I'm able to see spirits, talk to spirits, and see your animal totems, your auric field. I can talk to the masters. We can clear you. We can clear any kind of cords with you or any family members. They don't even have to be there in the room with you. I'm a distant healer. I'm a bag of tricks. The only thing I won't do is that, you know, if you're looking for a job, go find a job. I'm not here to help you find a job. I'm here to help you clear your energy. I'm here to help you remove these energies that are keeping you back and helping you to move forward in that energy of spiritual success. So if you have a yes or no question, you know, I prefer not to do that. But, you know, if you're on a spiritual path, you need my help to clear something in your body or around your field or talk to your spirit guides, be happy to do that for you. So I'm going to go ahead and take this first phone call right here, right now. And it's an 860. They've been on the radio, I think, even before I started here. So I'm going to go ahead and answer this phone call. And, of course, you know, when we're doing this work, a lot of times I want the guests to know, as well as the listeners to know, that sometimes when we're doing healing on one person, that energy goes off to the rest of you, you know, even if I don't get to you. Because it looks like I have about 9 callers here who have their hands up for a reading. So I'm going to go ahead and answer this first one. So it's called a surrogate healing. So really feel into what I'm doing with this person and really feel inside yourself if it resonates with you. If it feels like something to this effect is that, and as soon as you resonate with what I'm saying, even if you're not on the call with me, that healing will happen for you. So before I go to this number, I'm going to go ahead and ask the masters to call. I'm going to call them all in for right now and just to watch over us and to support all of us here today, to have good healing, to have good energy, and to dissolve any conflicts that are coming to from our past, our present, and future. Master Kuthumi, Duwako, Mother Mary, Kuan Yin, Archangel Michael, Uriel, Ariel, Gabriel, Raphael, Radkill, Jobiel, El Moria, Saint Germain, Ashtar, Serapis Bay, Master Hilarion, Jesus Christ, Buddha, White Buffalo, Catwoman, Geronimo, Sitting Bull, Krishna, Marie, Madeline, Metatron, Merlin, Master Shaw, John the Baptist, Lady Nana, Mother Teresa, Gandhi, Salaria, Ashtaria, Gamalili, Antioga, Master Toth, Master Yubi, Master Kwan, Tananda, Nichananda, Muktananda, Matreya Sai Baba, Sananda, Babaji, Recloud, Lady Electra, Master Balatron, Master Lucius, Archangel Centaur, Master Moses, Peter, St. Francis, Yeshua, Joshua, Kram, Chief, Sanat, Kamara. I'm going to go ahead and call in Ra. I'm going to call in Zeus. Also call in Star Woman. Also call in, let me see, Lady Portia and Lady Athena. And we're going to work with the Palladian, Andromedan, and Atlantean frequencies to come into all of our high selves here today, to blanket us with the energy of protection for all the people listening here today, and to send this energy to all the people who need this healing, even if they're not on the call, and to affect them and affect their children, their pets, and their household, and to send this energy for wherever it needs to go without being navigated by man, but being navigated by the great Creator. And we ask you this in the highest love and the highest needs of all the people here today. Matakias and Solidity. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and take this first caller, 860. Your last number is 8860.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air with Matthew Bueno. Hey.
Hey, Matthew. This is Amla.
Hi.
Ohio. How are you?
It's good. Good. Who am I speaking with?
Good. This is Amla.
Hi, Amla. Welcome to our show.
How are you doing?
So what can I do for you, Amla?
Sure. Well, it's been a heck of a winter. I think we all feel like this with the hibernation kind of inside out. And, I guess socially, I'm becoming so much brighter frequency-wise. And it's just a little bit, I don't even know what the word is, but I feel like I'm always the teacher with my friendships. And I want to be enlightened myself. I really enjoy deep conversation, and it just feels like it's a one-way street, and it's like emotional vampires, and I'm actually very exhausted.
That's a very, very good observation for your part to be able to see that, you know, you're being drained by energy. And the first thing I'm going to tell you is that I'm going to ask you, do I have your permission to connect to your high self?
Sure, absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Thank you. I always have to ask that because, you know, this is about you opening yourself up to me so I can look inside you. And so the first thing I'm going to tell you is that, you know, you have a lot of radiance in your field. The only thing that I see that you need to have is that you need to start having spiritual boundaries. Spiritual boundaries means that you are aware of the energies in your field and what you're picking up. You're very empathic. So your empathic energy, what it does is that it reaches for people. And it's like you have all these projects in your life and people. It's like you want to have all these, like, you know, it's like you're always in school or something. I could see why it's so draining in you, because you're attracting all these people are like is like homework for you. And we don't want that. We want you to be around like-minded people, right? So where you can build each other up and be inspired. So one of the things I'm going to tell you is that one of your guides that you have there, you need to have another guide. I'm going to ask Master Guthumi to come in right now, and he's going to shine his light on you. So what we're going to do is that he's going to put his hand on the back of your heart chakra, and he's going to put his lower hand on your solar plexus. And what he's going to do is that he's going to radiate golden light through your body, okay? And as we're doing that, Archangel Michael is going to come in, and we're going to detach this one spirit who doesn't belong in your field. It's a male, and it's like almost like a father figure, almost like talking down to you. Like just like putting you down and everything you try to do, you know, A, B, C, D. It's like everything you try to do is like it blocks you from having this existence or this drive or this having fulfillment, you know. And so does that resonate with you before you keep going?
Yes, totally.
Emily? Okay. All right. Yes. So we're going to cut him off of your side, and he's on your right side of your body. And he's telling me that he's a guy that he wears a lot of hats. He's trying to talk his way into being in your energy field, but he doesn't belong there. So what we're going to do is we're going to cut him off, and a lady Athena is going to take his place right now. And so they're pulling him out of your field, and he's yelling back at me, I can change. I can change. No, you can't. You're not ready to be a master yet. Go away. So we're pulling him out of your field. So what this does is that you need to have it's like, we see in your field that you're a very, very capable, empathic person who has a really strong connection with trees, with wind, with rocks, with creation, with energy of nature. And so you need to get back to that. Spending a lot of time in the city or, you know, wherever you're doing in the world, you need to have that downtime to where you can be in your body and you can generate that energy to be able to have fulfillment. That way, when your cup is full, then you can share it with the rest of the world. It's when you try to do all these different things without having any kind of generating energy for you that causes you not to feel that connection that you're looking for. So what they're doing, Master Guthumi says that you have a block in your third chakra, which is your solar plexus, which is your drive, your motivation. Does that feel true to you?
Yes. It makes sense.
Okay.
Yes. You got to do.
Okay. So good. So you're sounding lighter already. That's good. So he's running that energy through your body. I hope you can sense that a little bit. So what they're saying about your soul plexus is that there is an uncanny deep samskar or pain that you're carrying around with yourself. It's like you're feeling like you don't live up to anything. You don't deserve anything. You're not worthy of anything. So it's like you're not expecting to have to raise your bar. You know, you're settling for less. And this is, you don't want to settle for less. That's probably why you attracted this low vibrational energy spirit. So we want to raise your vibration. So what I'm going to ask you to do, I want you to look in your third eye. Are you aware of where your chakras are?
Yes, I do. Yep.
Okay. I want you to look in your third eye, and I want you to look at a beautiful pink rose. Okay?
Okay.
Mother Mary's going to put that pink rose there, and Kuan Yin's going to come in, and she's going to send love into that rose. And as you look there in your third eye, what happens is that there's a constant energy vibration coming from Grandfather, coming from Great Spirit, coming from God, that goes through your third eye and goes into your body. So when you turn your eyes up in that direction, that 45-degree angle to look up there, your body will start to fill up with light. So having that rose there, having that rose vibration, will go into your body and help you to remove some of this energy, negative energy out of your subconscious mind, out of your subconscious body, out of your negative body, out of your judgmental body, out of your lower body. And so just do that. And I just want you to do that for right now. And I'm going to ask Mother Mary to put a grounding cord through the top of your head, down your back, all the way down to your feet, into the earth as far as it'll go. And then we're going to send an energy down just to clear your field. And so what's happening is that there's a teacher coming from Atlantis. And I haven't really talked about this part of myself, but I am a, like, you know, I'm a, I don't even know what to call it, an usher. I'm a doorman for all these different portals. And so I work with the Atlantean energy a lot. So a lot of this connection that you're relearning and reteaching yourself in this lifetime is learning to be a leader and not so much a follower. When you step up to your game and you start demanding that God show you your path, you're becoming empowered. You're stepping into that power. You're stepping into that energy, and you're doing the work that, you know, that is meant for you. But only when you make that decision. It's not going to happen if you just, you know, turn tail and walk the other way. You got to look at it with your whole body as if standing naked in front of an ocean and just standing up to those waves that are trying to push you back. And just walk into the ocean without fear. And that's, you're bringing in that manifestation of whatever you want. So as they're clearing this energy in your solar plexus, we're going to go into your soul's truth. The soul's truth is a point inside your body that is the doorway to your soul. And over time, over previous lives, what happens is that we get layers and layers of walls that block ourselves from reaching our divinity or our sacredness. And so what you're showing the world is you're showing the world all your emotional hang-ups, your sexual hang-ups, your disbelief, your, you know. And so what we want to do is that we want to send energy into your soul's truth. And Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene are the ones that usually do this, because this is not a human thing. This is a spiritual thing. So what I'm going to tell you, everything that we're clearing inside you is what we're taking out. Okay? So the first thing Mother Mary says is that you have a lot of fear about the outcome or the future. Does that resonate?
Yes.
Okay, we're clearing that. Yes. Everything I'm telling you is not, we're not going to leave it there. That's everything we're taking out. And she says that you're also afraid of stardom. So like you're afraid of success. And so that needs to change. Yes, that needs to change. So that was a big yes. So that must have been a good validation for you. So she's clearing that inside you. And so what's happening is that the successful part inside yourself is your teenager. Your younger self, your teenager has this like hiding thing. Like she wants to hide from everybody. She doesn't want to be seen. She doesn't want to be in the open. She doesn't want to be recognized. So what you need to do is tell your teenager, sit down sometime, you know, after this call that we do or that you listen to the show. Sit down with your teenager, go into meditation. Just look at your younger self. And tell your younger self how you're going to take care of her and how you're going to share, you know, how you're going to be there for her when she needs someone to talk to. And as soon as you commit to talking and having a verbal conversation with the youngest part of yourself, what happens is that part of yourself feels cared for, and everything that you are afraid of will start to come in. It's like you have a cork in your bottle, and you just got to pull that cork out so all that magnificence can come through. Okay?
Okay.
So that energy is going through your body. Do you feel better? Do you feel a sense of relief, a sense of lightness in your body?
Oh, absolutely. Even when you were just talking to my teenager, all of my chakras just relieved. I'm very sensitive, as you could probably tell. So I just felt that in my body, let it go. I completely let it go.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Thank you, Amala. Thank you for allowing me to be in service for you today. Thank you for allowing me to help you.
And thank you. Many blessings.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Do take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
So that was Amala. So again, you know, I just want to thank you guys for calling in today and asking me this. And I have another class starting. I do a class level one. If you want to learn how to do this work that I'm doing now with people, you want to learn how to be more empathic, more psychic, focusing on your strengths. A lot of people come to our class and say, well, I'm not much of a seer, but I can feel. I'm more empathic than I am seeing. And you have both. There's not one without the other. You know, it's a full package. So if you're not a seer and you want to be a seer, there's just there's something above. There's something that blocks your third eye from having that revitalization, to have that that feeling. You know, and so a lot of people are blocked in their third eyes because it's something they saw or something they experienced, and they don't want to ever want to see it again. So they turn off their whole psyche, the whole intuitive part. But your auric field, your energy, is like your antenna. You know, you work with that, and if you know what a rose looks like, you know what the wind feels like, you know what a heart looks like. You know, those are all the basic visions that we begin with to help people see. So I teach people one-on-one. It's called cosmic coaching. If you have something you want to work on, you want to be more clairvoyant, you want to learn to talk to spirits better, you want to fine-tune your business or your psychic abilities, I'm your guy. And that's what I do. That's what I've been doing for the last 35 years or so. So I'm putting that out there right now. Right now I'm running the special. I usually charge $250 an hour for my sessions, and I record everything, but I'm dropping it down to $195. If you mention, I heard you on Blog Talk Radio, blah, blah, blah. Now, without the blah, 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 but you know what I mean. So if you say that and it's, yeah, I want a reading, I'll charge you $195 instead of $250. So that's about 55%. anyways, so I just wanted to put that out there to you. Also, you can check out my website at www.ascendedmasterangels.com. You'll get to read more about me and some of the other stories that I have that are on there, some of the other, you know, experience that I had about talking to spirits on the other side. And also, you know, you get to see my mugshot there, and I think a video. And hey, you know what? No judgment, okay? All you haters, I didn't comb my hair that day, okay? I realized that after I saw the video. So I'm like, oh, man, I look like I'm, you know, I've got a big old bushy hairdo going on. Anyways, so, yeah, check me out on my webpage and see what I'm all about. Our next level one class I'll be teaching with Robin Alexis is in April, and I'll have more of that details on my event page on my website. All right. So moving right along, we're going to go ahead and move over here to this next phone number. It looks 360, and the last four numbers is 3855. Hello, you're on the air with Matthew Bueno. How can I assist you today?
Hi, Matthew, it's Ralph.
Dude, what up, homie? I mean, hi, Ralph.
I was wondering if you could give me a hint as to why when I go into these deep meditations and then we try to come back out, number one, I don't want to come back out. There's a part of me that's, I guess the inner child in me is just like kind of stomping his foot and I'm not ready to come back out. I want to stay there. And then different individuals will ask me, well, what happened while you were gone? Well, I was so deep, I didn't remember. What is there something blocking me from that?
You know what? I really don't have an answer for that. You know, let me ask the masters about that. Do I have your permission to connect your high self?
Oh, please do.
Okay. So Master Kutumi, he wants to know why he goes into his shoes. I mean, he goes into his meditations, and then he can't come out. And what, you don't have detail describing what you were in, what you experienced? Okay, all right. So he says that we're going to do this some work for you. All right. So there are different ways that you can help yourself to conquer these feelings. If anybody else out there, you know, has had these same issues where you go into your meditations, or you even have dreams where you can't remember your dreams. This is the Master Kutumi said, this is a down-to-earth good thing, but this is what you do. Is that you imagine purple. Now, purple isn't a color that you would hear through a bell or through a vibration. So Master Buddha teaches that purple actually comes from a bell. When you hear a gong or a bell, that's purple. So imagining yourself hearing like a bell, like someone ringing a bell, ding, ding, like a, you know, you've heard those bells somewhere in your life. Think about the bell. When you think about the bell, what happens is that you conjure purple light in your auric field. And so the purple light tells a part of yourself, a subconscious part, that is scared about what it sees or what it experienced somewhere in your meditation or in your dreams. So what the purple does is that it brings divine protection in your subconscious mind. So right now, Ralph, I want you to imagine the sound of a bell, and I want you to look at your symbol, but I want you to put purple light instead of white light around your symbol. And then what that does is that you're drawing in the infinite color of that divine color into your third eye, and it's going to feed into your body and fill you up and pour into your etheric, pour into your angelic, pour into your spiritual. So now your aura is becoming, it's being cleansed with this purple light. So as that purple light goes out into the universe, stretch that light as far as you can see it go, 20 miles, 50 miles, 100 miles away from you. And as you can conjure that energy, your light body, spirit body, your positive body, your neutral body, your negative body, your spirit body, your soul body, all those parts of your body will start to become ignited wherever this thing is hiding. You can send that energy by using color to bring back. So if you can see the color in your mind and you can see the color on your field, and then that will help you to start remembering the things you have that you, when you went into meditation or you're in a guided tour with us, you know, that you, things that you can remember. Purple will help that energy to be, to help your aura to become strengthened by that energy. So a lot of times what I have people do is that I have them push their, you know, during the cosmic coaching, I have them push their chakras out 2 feet in front of them, all their chakras. So as they push that energy out, that chakra cleans the 3 layers of energy body around your body, and then you bring it in with your breath, push it out, bring it in. And the one that you're having trouble with in your body is the one that's blocking this from occurring. So what I say to you, Ralph, okay, is that what you can do is that if you have a question, you ask your master self. You say, Master High Self, I have this question about what's happening, why I can't remember, you know, how to come out, or why I go in so deep and I can't remember stuff. And you start to breathe in each of those chakras. You push them out, pull them in, push them out, pull them in. And whatever one you're struggling with, that's the one that's blocking that from occurring. So that's a good way to really feel. So what I'm feeling that inside you is your heart chakra. You know, it's the most sensitive part of your body is your heart. And so it's a lot stronger and a lot more powerful and a lot more emotion than your mind. So it takes on a lot of stuff. And so what I'm looking at right now inside your heart chakra is your mother. I see your mom in there. And I see your mom babying you to where, you know, she took care of everything and didn't have to do anything really. And she really, 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 really loves you so much that I think that you stop, you know, moving forward in a place where you feel, when you feel really loved and really comforted, it's like you can't look beyond that. You just want to stay in that love, you know. And I'm there too. I know exactly what that feels like. But what we want to do is we want you to be conscious of love at the same time as feeling strengthened and empowered by moving into your power and being able to bring all that beautiful creativity through your body. So when you put the energy of purple around your body, you push your heart chakra 2 feet in front of you and hold it there, okay, hold it there. And then you send that purple light into your into the place of the imprint of where your heart chakra was. You send all that purple light in there. And then when you fill it up and you feel like you filled up that part of your body as deep and as much as you can, you pull back your heart chakra all the way back into where it needs to go, and you hold it there. You hold it there, and you send white light through your crown chakra, bead all your chakras together, from your crown, your third eye, your throat, your heart chakra, your solar plexus, your spleen, and then your kundalini down into the earth, and you ground that energy. And now this is an exercise for you. This is what they're giving me to give to you. This is an exercise for you to do on a constant basis when you ground yourself in the morning and put your protection on. Do this 5 minutes a day, and you'll be able to start to see what and remember your meditations. How does that feel to you?
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you.
Does that make sense? I mean, I love kudos. I love hearing that I'm fantastic, but I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying.
uh, No.
What's so funny?
I'm very serious. Oh, the part about wanting to hear the fantastic. That you felt like you liked to hear you were fantastic. No, I actually felt that as you were doing it, and beautiful. I like new exercises that are going to work for me.
Okay. Pushing your chakras out 2 feet. When you have a question, you ask your master high self, or ask your high self, you know, just something better than you, stronger than you, and you ask that question, and then you push out your chakras, and the one that's struggling to go out of your body, because that's the one that wants to hold all that stuff in, that's the one that's having issues. So once you can do that, you know, you can push that energy out, and then you fill it up with that color, that one that you activated yourself with, and all the energy will go away, you know. And it's up to you, you know, use it as much as you want to for any question, you know. Hey, why not try it with some lottery numbers? I would. Now I am. Shoot. It's like, okay, 1 to 1,000. No, 1 to 100. Is this the number? No, it'll be there forever. But anyways, so, you know, just use it to the best of your ability and do the best you can, and I guarantee you'll start to feel better.
Right on. Thank you so much.
All right, Ralph. Hey, were you able to say happy birthday to Bob?
I did.
Awesome. Yeah, I gave him a necklace. All right. I'll see you in class next week. I'm sorry about that. I'll see you in class next week. I'm sorry about that, Ralph. I think I hung up on you too fast there. Anyways, that was my buddy Ralph. He's a good man, and he's in my level 3 class right now, learning about metaphysical energies, working with it's called Merlin's Metaphysical Realm. And I can tell you, Merlin is a fantastic, beautiful inspiration. And this man, his energy is so strong that when he comes on, it's like you automatically start to giggle. And I don't know what that is, you know. And I think that there's just a younger part of myself that really loves him so much that we've had this life together where we just laughed, you know. And so when he comes into my field, I can automatically start to feel giddy, you know, because that's what the energy brings. He says that laughter is a medicine, you know, it's an energy medicine that really allows you to be your inner child, to be yourself. And so he teaches from this realm of colors, the energies of astral travel. And so his astral travel mechanism and energy teachings are so easy to learn. You know, and when he first told me about astral projection, I said, are you kidding? How am I supposed to teach that? Now I got to break that down and just teach this. And he told me how. So it was phenomenal, you know. And one of the things I really love about teaching with the masters is that not just in the workspace or the teaching that I receive information, but it's like my off time, you know, when I'm meditating by myself or something will happen that will teach me a little bit further. And it doesn't matter what I'm doing during that week. If I come back from Disneyland or I'm doing something else that day, or I'm in the ceremony, I come back. And if for some reason, everyone is having the issue that the issue that they're working on is exactly what the masters are teaching that day. It's amazing. I don't even know how it works. It's like having meditation music in the background, and then you say something that song influences that much more. So it's just phenomenal. It's phenomenal. So I just want to thank Merlin and just to acknowledge him and for his work and for that level 3 class again. And Ralph is also magnificent, and he's working with me in level 3 class. So I'm going to go ahead and take this next call, which is a 417 number. The last 2 3 4 numbers is 3328. Hello, you're on the call with Matthew Bueno.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
My name is Sashira. I'm good.
Hi, Sashira. Did I say your name right, Sashira?
Sashira.
Sashira, okay.
Yes. So I do a lot of work myself. I've dedicated my entire life. I came in as a walk-in 7 years ago to working for the people, and I found the human experience to be a very challenging adjustment. I've spent the last 2 years clearing residual karma from this body and adjusting to the human emotions that come with it. And I had a wonderful teacher who didn't even realize he was a master to sit at the feet of, who crossed over in December. It's really hit me very powerfully because I've been left to, it's a great honor to carry on the work and bring it forth to the world. But I guess what I'm just wondering is, sometimes when it's your own stuff, there's a challenge with clarity, especially when there's emotions attached, such as finding a new way to connect and relate to someone when they're on the other side, because I can connect there, but I'm still missing him here, and I know that's normal. I want to know what more I can do with myself, or if there's anything coming through that will assist me further in being of service to the people. If there's anything blocking me that I'm missing, or anything else I can do.
Sure, be happy to help you. But before we continue, can you explain to the people a little bit about what a walk-in is? Because I know that term, but I don't think a lot of people know that term. So could you just
how it happened with me wasn't typical. There wasn't a before life contract. The being that was in this body had a near-death experience where something tried to pull her soul out for 3 days, and she yelled, and I was near, and I was working as a guide, and I jumped in, and I grabbed up, and in those 3 days, it was, you know, it's timeless, and she expressed to me a desire not to be here anymore, but she wanted to leave in a good way, and in that time, we made a petition before the council, and it was granted, and she went on, and I stayed in her body with the agreement to clear her karma and contracts, and to be able to continue whatever work was needed for humanity.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, perfect. Good. All right. So do I have your permission to connect your high self?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so again, let's rephrase the question. So you want me to help you with unblocking yourself from being able to contact people on the other side?
No, I'm looking for any clarity on how I can better be of service, and also any messages that I'm not getting because I'm emotionally compromised, or any places that I might be blocked from this that I've missed.
Beautiful. All right. So I'm going to ask your high self for this one. So I'm going to go up to God, the masters, come down to your crown chakra. Okay. So what's happening is that there's a lot of angry energy in your field. I'm going to have to really look at this and see where it's coming from. And it looks like you have a big crack in the right side of your auric field where this anger is. And we're going to repair that real quick. So I'm going to have Archangel Michael come in and do that. And what that is it says that you gave something of yours away to somebody, and that person, is holding on to it. And it was like a gift or something you gave to somebody, and they're not in a good way. And so their energy is going into you because you gave something to them. And so what we're going to do is that we're going to cut that cord with that person, with you, and that thing that you gave them. I don't know if it was a watch or a ring or a necklace or some kind of token that you gave them to help them, and they're in a bad way. I mean, like in a bad way, like alcoholism, drug addiction, hatred, whatever it is, that there's a negative energy that's feeding into that thing that you gave them that's going into your auric field. So we're going to clear all that stuff. So I'm going to ask them to come on in. Let's get Elmoria in here, please. And, yes, Merlin, you can come. As long as you behave, this is a serious matter. Okay, so, yeah, I know. I just start to mess around. As soon as he starts to come in, it's the weirdest thing. Okay, so Merlin is pulling this thing out. It's like a dagger that's in the side of your head. It's like a green dagger. It looks beautiful and crystallized, but it's not supposed to be there. So we're pulling this thing. It's out of your right ear, and so they're pulling that out of your ear right now. Mother Mary's holding her hand behind your head where that bone is behind your ear, and she's recalibrating that because you've been listening to lower vibrational energies. She says you need to raise your vibration to the vibration of your master teacher and your master guide. So what that means is that when you call in your master teacher, master guide, you don't feel yourself as being lower than or less than. You raise your vibration and your frequency to match theirs. So inside yourself as a worker, you'll feel inside the anchor or the ropes or the energies that you need to consciously be accountable to release inside yourself, so you're not taking that energy into your next level of consciousness. Are you following me?
Absolutely.
Okay. So we're going to cut this thing from the side, and they're already repairing that. And so what? One of the things that that you have is, and this is funny, I saw this bird today, you know, and I have seen eagles and I've seen hawks all over the place, but I saw this one falcon, and I saw the beak, and I saw the majestic beak of that. And so you have a falcon as a guide, and this falcon is gold. You know, it has a gold face, and it has a white light body, and it's like behind you on your shoulder watching for things to come. And so when you give your power away to something, what happens is that your energy body becomes less than or weakened by that. So we need to change the validity of your field. So the validity is like the word that intensifies the light in your energy field. So what I'm going to ask your falcon to do is to dominate the lytites. The lytites are the energy photons that make up your auric field that they reflect the energy of your soul to make the color of your personality. And and it's not just your personality in the auric field. It's also your strengths. It's your hidden talents. It's your healing abilities. It's your abilities, period. It's your, when you possess parts of yourself that are stronger than you, but you don't know what they are yet. They're like, you have parts of yourself that you're not tapping into yet that are need to be in the forefront. So the falcon is going to, right now, she's already doing that. It's a female, and she's already... Oh, yeah, she's already vibrating that energy in your field. So I'm just going to hold that energy with the falcon, and we're vibrating it in your – looks like she's vibrating more in your kidneys. So anybody out there who has kidney problems or blood problems or hip problems, right now we're sending this to you as well as a surrogate healing. All right. And there she's sending the energy out of your navel. And now I can see the energy of this red, brown, negative, vomit colors coming out of your – And it's okay. I mean, this is what happens. We're clearing that energy inside you. And it looks like you've been carrying whoever walked in you were talking about, you were carrying their burdens too. And so all this stuff is starting to come out of your body now. That's beautiful. It's going down your leg. It's going out of your leg. It's just coming off of you. So I'm going to ask Maitreya to come into your crown chakra. And I want to, can you give her a white light activation, please? And everyone else that is feeling this energy within themselves. And so we're going to send this activation. As your taskmaster, you do Master Kwan, can you please send this activation into her high self and throughout her body to generate the energy and DNA to change and transfix this energy to raise it to the highest vibration, highest frequency of her Master Teacher, Master Guide. So let it be. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So we're sending that energy into your body and around your body and to all of just looks like one, two, there's three other people here who are listening to the show who have the same, have similar issues. So we're just going to send that out to them. All right. Can you sense that happening in your body?
Absolutely.
So just breathe that energy down. I want you to navigate the energy wherever you feel it needs to go inside yourself.
It's interesting. You're so very spot on. I knew something was off. I knew that the anger welling up, it was, for me, it was kind of detached. Like I was observing it in the body, and I was actually feeling pain in the liver and kidneys. So I started a very intensive morning meditation, trying to just intuitively press joy into my liver and radiate it out to the rest of my organs like trees do to each other. But I was still struggling because I was compromised. Thank you so much.
So when you – yeah, you're welcome. So when you – I want you to ask Maitreya next time to come into your high self and bring in – tell him to bring in white light stars into your crown chakra. And then as that stars come through your body, your main color that you came in on this planet with is lavender, like a lavender pink, which is that you're a provider. You provide energy. You're providing nourishment to, like, nurturing. You're a nurturer person. You're nurturing. And so you need to bring more nurturing into your field, to yourself, so you can be blanketed with that beautiful love of Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, Maitreya, and that whatever you give away, you'll be receiving back. So I'm still holding this energy for you. And what Merlin said to me, which made me almost spit out my water, was that he said that you need to wear bling jeans. You know those jeans with the little silver stuff on the back so you can feel young again? I don't know what he means by that, but whatever. He said you need to wear bling jeans. I said, Michael, that's so inappropriate. Thank you.
You gotta love Merlin.
What? He says, she'll sparkle then. I was like, okay, whatever. So, yeah, Merlin's 2 cents. So, yeah, we're just going to hold that energy. All right, now I'm just going to take whatever's there, pull it out. Ah, there it is. Got it and put it in my transmuting bucket. Cool. How does that feel? Does that feel lighter down there?
Like I can take a deep breath and my liver doesn't hurt anymore.
Yes. Awesome blossom.
I say
all
awesome
right.
possum because I'm in the Midwest, but that works.
All right. So there you go. Thank you so much for calling. I hope that we helped you, and thank you for allowing me to be in service for you today.
Plamie, many blessings.
Aho, matakas. So there you go, folks. So, you know, there's just a lot of energies that we carry, a lot of ways to help different people with different ways. And, you know, the most part is to just, if you want something done for you, you got to meet God halfway. You know, and if you want something, you have to work at it. Even if you search yourself and you can't find it, the person will be there to help you because you're putting that prayer into your body. So, you know, again, I'm just going to put out my digits out there. My number is 530-276-3642. Go to my website. And then if you like what you see, give me a call. And we'll, you know, usually I charge $250 an hour, but hey, you know, from this radio show, I'm giving you a break. But, you know, just seriously, you know, if you need help, give me a call. I'll help you out. And again, everything that I do, you know, is under wraps. We keep everything, you know, pretty much, you know, hush hush. And it doesn't matter what you've done, who you are, what you were in the past, just about what you want to change and what you want to create in your life. And so, and we tape record all our sessions. So I send it to your computer. That way you can download it and listen to it again. All right. So I'm going to take this next call. We're down to, looks like we're down to 38 minutes. So let me see what we got here. I'm going to go ahead and answer this. The last four numbers is 9602. Hi, and you're on the air with Matthew Buino. Hello. Your area code is 862. Last four digits is 9602. Do you have me on mute and you don't know you have me on mute? Okay. Well, I can hear you breathing. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next caller, and then you can let me know if you want to come back on. Just keep your hand up. So this one is
No, I didn't mean
restricted.
Like that. Like I meant like as in like with my life, like with like security, like family, stuff like that. So it's just me in this world pretty much. So like, that's what I meant by... You know, because this, I think this is like a great opportunity for me to like really like create and be my like.
Hello, you're on the air with Matthew. How can I help you?
Yeah.
Hello? Well, you were just, I came into your conversation. Who are you talking to over there? You talking to me? Hello? Okay. This is kind of a weird situation. The person was already talking. I don't even know what was going on there. So I'm going to go back here again. I'm going to try this number again. And it's a 111111. Looks like it's a Skype number. Hi, you're on the air with Matthew. Hello.
If you want it, yeah, I'm just like stressed out because I just got back in the country and I was sick and
oh.
Then I'm broke. Like literally nothing till the first week of March, and I have like I'm running out of food, so I'm just like stressed out. That's probably why I'm in this mindset right now. And then like all my stuff from my past coming to the forefront of my head, so I'm just trying to.
Oh. Okay, hold on. I'm gonna see. There's something going on here with.
Yeah.
I know everyone can hear me. There's somebody was. Texting me and saying that I can hear you, but apparently those people cannot. Oh, well, whatever. So we're just going to move on. You can hear me now, right? Oh, great. Hi. Can you hear me okay? Okay. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know if the Skype channel is going on. 970. Okay, let's see. I don't have a 970 here.
You're right.
Oh, there you are down there. Okay. Can you hear me okay now? All right. So I'm just going to put it out there again. If you guys want to talk to me, you got to call the guest call-in number, which is 646-564-9678, and you press 1. And when you push 1, that little hand will come up, a little question mark, and I'll say, oh, look, someone has their hand up. And so Oh, there goes one right there. So I'm going to go back one more time to this 111 number again, just because I want to make sure that, you know, I don't want to turn anybody down here. Okay. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? All right. Well, I tried. All right. So I'm going to go back down here to this next number, which is 970-0078. Hi. This is Matthew Bueno.
Hey, Matthew. How are you?
How you doing? Who am I speaking with?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Charlton, I'm calling from Loveland, Colorado.
Dude, what's up? How are you? I mean,
all right,
hi, how are you? Welcome to our show.
We spoke quite a long time ago.
I know.
Ago.
I got to stop the street talk, you know. I'm on the air.
No worries.
I can't be talking like that. All right. So what can I do for you, Charles?
So I seem to have some kind of blockage with financial stuff and don't know how to get past that.
Okay. Do I have your permission to connect our high self, Charles?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So connecting to God, connecting to Masters, and we're going to go in. Yes. Okay. So, okay, they're already telling me. Okay, so. Oh, slow down. Okay, so they're saying that you need to do a revitalization ceremony. And so what that means is that there's something going on. It's almost like in your second chakra, there's all this like shrapnel, like a war or something that happened in your life that caused like PTSD or like really infamous, like an explosion of emotions or energies. And it's all around your body. I mean, it's like a spiral of shrapnel. So what I'm going to do is go up to your high self real quick and talk to your master high self and ask, what the heck is this? I've never seen this before. Can you help me clear this, please? Okay, so they're going to bring down this energy. So what I want you to do, I want you to look at a white light sword in your third eye, okay? Just look at a sword in your third eye. And what you're saying to your high self and to the creator is that you're ready to cut away these old beliefs, these old energies, these old people. And now this is another one. You're very empathic, Charles. And so what happens is that you are like a magnet to all these people who are just like on your energy field. And so as I'm talking to you more and more, I can see what's going on now. So as you look at that sword, you're going to help me. You're going to help me meet God halfway to clear this energy in your field. And so, all right. In 2 weeks, so Master Kuthumi says that there's an opportunity to make money in 2 weeks. That's coming your way. But you need to be in your body. If you go in your head, that's where all the stuff happens all the time. He says, be in your heart. Then really look at the situation about to and back, you know, to see how far it's going to take you. And don't look at it as survival. Look at it as an opportunity to have more in the future and to have that support. Okay. So we're going to go into your second chakra and keep looking at that sword. And we're going to put white light around your body, Archangel Michael is, and we're going to start dissolving all this shrapnel in your field. And it looks like a lot of it has been stuff that's been thrown at you from other people. And it looks like there is some resentment energy in your field as well. So we're going to take all that stuff out. We're just going to clean some Almoria. Let's call in Master Hilarion, John the Baptist, please, and Red Cloud. So we're going to do a blessing on you. On your lower chakras, and it looks like some kind of, okay, I need to ask this. So do you have a rod or something in your hip or in your leg, around your left, your right leg, I'm sorry, by your hip area? Is there a rod in there?
Physically?
Yeah, physically.
No, there's... Okay.
Do you have problems with that leg?
Not
there's
in
a
general.
Huge... dark energy inside your between your trochanter and your knee and your right side of your leg, and it's like this black thing. It's just kind of going in and out, like it's there. So we're gonna go in there at Archangel Michael. We're just gonna pull that sucker out. I'm not sure what that is, to tell you the truth. This shrapnel, like, you know, parts of, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like you were in this explosion. I don't even know what that is. So we're just gonna take all these pieces out of your field. All right. Yes, okay. So Mother Mary is going to come into your crown chakra. your third eye, and she's going to push her hand, her palm against your forehead, and she's going to help to erase some of the memories that you're carrying inside your body that is blocking some of the abundance and prosperity to come into your life. It's like you're coding everything that you're experiencing with the past or with like old behaviors, old feelings, old energies, energies that have been programmed into you through your childhood. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to your familial paradigms. Real quick, the familial paradigms is the energy cortex energy that comes back from your generations of your family. So let's say, you know, a lot of times people have curses in their family, especially in the olden days. A lot of Native American people have it where there's been, like, you know, so much shaman battles in the past. You know, it's a very jealous, sometimes we get very jealous of each other, you know, for having more power or having more people who like us or whatever it is. And so it travels down from generation to generation into your body. Like, you got to take on the burdens now from your family. So there's a big part of that happening on your father's side in your body. And it's almost like not deserving the best or selling for less. Energies in your field, just around the back of your head, that comes in your head, goes down into your right hip. So we're going to follow all the energy up into your back. All right, we're just going to push your energy away just a little bit. There's a lot of stuff coming off of you all at the same time, which is good. All right, so we're going to put a grounding cord of gold down to your crown chakra, down your back, into the earth, all the way down. All right, and so one of these things, too, is that there's a previous life here to where you're always drowning. You've drowned, I don't know, how many times? It looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times that you've drowned. Like in the past previous lifetimes, or almost drowned. And so you have this panic feeling in your second chakra, like trying to get air to get into your body is like panicking. And so we want to dissolve that energy. Does that resonate with you at all, Charles?
Not really.
Okay, that's okay. Because, you know, a lot of times when we have stuff in our body from our family, we don't even know what's there until it's gone. So I'm going to take it out anyway. So we're going to go into your solar plexus. I'm going to pull all that stuff out. All right, out of your soul's truth. Okay, go into your throat chakra and go into your familial paradigms. So, Charles, what do you do for a living?
I'm a therapist part-time and a substitute.
Whoa. Okay. Well, that explains some of the shrapnel. Okay. So what kind of therapist are you?
I'm a psychotherapist that mainly uses hypnotherapy as my modality.
Oh, wow. Are you serious? My girlfriend's MFT. Oh, man. Yeah. Wow, what a trip. Dude, well, why are you asking me?
I've been giving free therapy to veterans for about 15 years. So
that explains
I've
the strapping.
Been living on a massive, massive slim in terms of your financial inputs.
Man, you should be rocking right now. Wow. Okay. Okay, so let's go ahead. I'm going to change this up a little bit. All right, let's go ahead and clear up this energy field. All right, so we're going to clear your energy field, and we're going to put energy into your crown. I want you to keep looking at the sword, though, okay? Keep looking at the sword. I know the symbolism of this work is just, you know, it's what the masters want you to – they want you to become connected to your higher self, connected to your energy body, connected to the accountability by taking these stuff on from people, the shrapnel, the energies that you've taken on from the veterans, you know, like the wars and stuff that has been, it's in your field, you know, the descriptions, the, you know, everything, you know, body parts, everything is in your field. So we're just taking all that stuff off and dissolving the energy around your solar plexus, around your second chakra. And there's still an energy in there coming from back from your father. So we're going to clear that energy from your familial paradigms. All right. And so as we clear this energy, what I want you to do is I want you to take – are you holding me with your right hand or left hand?
Left.
Okay, I want you to take your right hand and place it over your belly button, okay? I'm going to have Maitreya come in here, and he's going to run purple energy into your navel. And what this is going to do is going to free up some choices that you need to make about yourself. You know, there's just some people you need to walk away from. There's some people that, you know, that are not inspiring anymore. You got to step out of that energy, you know, and for a moment, just stop thinking. I want you just to feel. Okay, just feel the energy going into your hand as they're running that through right now, and just put that energy into the faith that you want to change. I want you to think about right now what you want in your life, how you want it. And I want you to see yourself getting paid. I want you to see yourself having everything that you need and asking the universe to provide this for you, okay? And as you're doing that, I'm going to go into your backbone with the other masters, and we're going to clear all this other shrapnel in your back. And there's a little bit of a resistance to what I'm doing with you, but that's okay. I've gotten this before. So some of this resistance, too, is coming from your father. Your father's really like a weird influence on you and your body. It's like you're not letting go. You're like holding on to the father energy in your field for whatever reason. And what it reminds me of is that when I was a kid, I used to love to hold on to my dad's leg, and he would just lift me all over the house, you know. And for a long time, I felt that I was still doing that. So I kind of see you doing that too. It's like in your field of that, needing that connection, needing that fulfillment, needing that feeling of camaraderie. All right. So we're going to clear all that energy out of your back, pulling that energy out. All right, good. Now we're going to just run gold in through your back, down into your feet, into the earth. I'm going to have Mother Mary and Kuan Yin and also Red Cloud come in and give you a blessing. So Red Cloud is taking his eagle fan and he's blessing your third eye, blessing your shoulders, blessing your chest, your stomach, your legs, all the way down. So we cleared the second chakra burden that you were carrying, but the rest is up to you. So in the morning when you get up, you know, do you have a morning practice, a meditation that you do?
No.
All right. You probably
no,
need
I
one.
Do not.
Look at this guy, man.
It's been suggested more
man,
than once.
Man, you're rebellious. Oh, okay. I would say use a gold light around your body to protect you from negative energies that stick to your field. The reason for that is that you're very empathic. And as a man, you know, it's important to know your sensitive side and not just to be in your dominance, but to be in your sensitive side. And to really, in your sensitive side, that's where you're going to find your strength, have some power in there, because you need to have more balance. You're just kind of taking everything on. You know, and you're trying to move like a rhino through all this stuff. And you can't just bully your way through. You need to sit in your subtle body and just be really, really present and just let this stuff go and choose that neutral place. So when you're neutral, your body can't seek out what's wrong with it or what you're holding on to. Okay? Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. Did that help you a little bit today?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for calling in, Charles.
Thank you.
You're
Take
welcome.
Care.
Okay. So we have about 20 more minutes here. So I'm going to go ahead and go down the line here to the next person here. 9602 is the last four digits of your number.
Yes. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. Hello. Okay. So I just wanted to say thank you to everybody that has been on the show with us here today. I wanted to say thank you for the masters and for the creator and for the energies that came in to help us all today work together. And I just want to say thank you to all of you for supporting one another that's coming on the show. And I pray that, you know, things will get better for all of you in your life today and that in some way, some form, we're able to help you. Thank you again for being a part of this show. And we look forward to next time. And I will be posting what I'll be doing next time for everybody. So, again, thank you and God bless.